Amen. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 25. It is a very Matthew 24, 25, very, very powerful part of Matthew. End time teaching from the very mouth of Jesus Christ, which is the straight word from God. Amen. And I want to talk about, I'll call it recompense and retribution. Now, those are big words, big 99-cent words, but in more of our understanding, we would call it reward and punishment. You know, brethren, I find in the word that there is a difference in what a saint has come to in their life while they are here in the flesh on the earth. You know, one gets the impression from some of the evangelical teachings that the main thing is to repent, get your sins forgiven, get under the blood, and then just coast along and you don't have to do anything more. Well, try to stay out of trouble, go to church a lot, pay your tithe, and nothing more to worry about. But you know, the Word of God has there's a reward, there's punishment. And I think we need to understand this principle as we begin to understand God. Now, Matthew 25, you know, the first part of that is the parable of the virgins. But pick up maybe pick that up in about verse 14. When Jesus comes to another thing, it's called the parable of the talents. Now, you can ask questions. You can debate, whatever. What do these talents mean? Well, we have an understanding of a talent, don't we? A talent is, our understanding is a gift that God gives us. And there are people, I believe, that go through life and never really understand that God gave them a gift, because they make no attempt to discern, no attempt to find out what it is, and come to the end of their life and find whatever talent they were given never got used at all. So here, let me, I don't know, maybe I should read, it won't take long. Let me just read down through. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven," so we're talking about the kingdom, the message we preach, it's about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, means the same thing. Amen. Is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So who's the man that traveled into the far country? Who is he? Amen. Well, it's Jesus. He's telling that he's going to be traveling, he's going to be leaving them, and they the disciples, those who are hearing this message, and we who are hearing it, we understand that we are partakers of this. Okay? Now, interesting thing, I don't see that the disciples ask him the meaning of this, but let's take a look here, okay? He delivered to them his goods, all right, the gifts. Amen. And to one he gave 5 talents. Well, he was a very talented fellow. And to another he gave 2. And to another he gave 1. To every man according to his several ability. So he gave it according to what a man is able to handle. Okay? And straightway he took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. In other words, he doubled what he had been given to him. in the course of his life. What do you think he did? What do you think his gift was? His gift maybe was speaking to people, talking about the kingdom of God, talking about the goodness of the Lord, talking about the answers to prayer that God had given him, whatever. I don't know what they were. But he gained five more. And likewise, he that received two, he also gained another two. In other words, he doubled what he had. Now he had four. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. What did he do with his talent? He was good at singing and praising, but he didn't use it. Well, maybe he did. It says he hid it in the earth. So maybe he became a rock and roll singer, went into bars and began to entertain there. Whatever he did with his talent was carnal, earthly, hid it in the earth. And the kingdom of God never benefited one bit from his talent. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So there was a reckoning, a retribution, and also a recompense, all right? And so he that had received five talents came and brought the other five, all right, saying, Lord, thou deliverest to me five. Behold, I have gained beside them five more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee, what? I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, you know, I discovered this verse a long time ago. But I only remembered my prayer. I only remember praying the first part of this verse. And I remember way back, I think even in my 20s, that I would pray and I would say, Lord, there's one thing I want, is when I come to the end of the time, all I want, all I really want is to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, that'll satisfy me for anything that I have to go through, if I can only hear you say that at the end of my time. All right. So anyway, the other he also that received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. And the Lord said to him, likewise, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, you notice that word faithful. That word faithful means he didn't give up. It means he didn't take a 5-year sabbatical and go off in the world and do something else. He stayed right with it, right on to the end. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. So you notice the contrast between few. We get tested with few, we get rewarded with many. Few to many. In other words, a great expansion, a great reward, much greater than it was in the beginning. And I'll make thee ruler over many things. However, when he that received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Let me ask you a question. Is he a hard man? Well, some say no. Some say yes. You know what? I think he expects a return on his investment. And if he doesn't get the return on, you know, what I'm saying, the Lord invests in our life over the course of our lifetime. And you know what? If he's not going to get a return on that investment, I think he can be pretty hard. He's going to be pretty strict. All right, let's go on. And I was afraid. And I went and hid my talent in the earth. Where did he hide it? Earth. Carnality. Not spiritual. And lo, there thou hast. Here it is. I'm giving it back to you, Lord. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Okay, he didn't just say you were lazy, slothful. He added the word wicked. That sounds kind of hard to me, doesn't it? Yes, he's merciful. But you know what? He hasn't changed his mind. I want some return on my investment. Wicked and slothful servant. Now notice he called him a servant. He really had been called. He really had been part of those who were called. Thou knewest that I reap. He's admitting, I reap where I strawed not, and gather where I have not strawed, sowed not. Yes. In other words, I'm taking maybe what you didn't think I was going to take. Thou ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, put it in the bank, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, which is interest. In other words, I wanted some investment. Maybe you weren't going to double it, but I want some increase. And you weren't even going to give me that. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that hath 10 talents. Well, notice the guy that had the most, he got another one. 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath in abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, or which he thinks he has, he's going to lose it. Now, did he get into heaven anyway? Did he get into the kingdom? Read the next verse. Sounds doubtful to me. And cast ye the unprofitable servant. Every servant is expected to be profitable to the Lord. Come on, this is a requirement. You know, not just get saved, get your sins forgiven, go to church every Sunday, pay your tithe, and then go and live any way you want. Join the world, do what they do. No, that you're an unprofitable servant. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Now it doesn't say hell. It must be though, outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why will there be weeping and gnashing of teeth? What'd you say, Rita? Torment. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, tormenting because, oh God, I failed, I failed. I had the opportunity to do it and I didn't do it. I was lazy. I was slothful. Oh God, and remember, that doesn't sound like heaven to me. Okay, let's talk about in the same chapter and coming down to the next verse, okay? And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, now we're talking about the second coming, all right? In his glory, and all the holy angels with him, and that'll be the saints that are in glory with him. Amen. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now, I really don't know what this is going to look like. Whether this is something that we will actually be able to see, I kind of suspect that it is some kind of a public display that will be made available to the earth, to all on the earth. I don't know how. He says on his throne. So he will be recognized as a king on the throne. All right, let's go on. and before him shall be gathered all nations. So there's still nations. What nations? America, Nigeria, Russia, Ukraine, Germany, China, little nations, Azerbaijan, Romania, Netherlands, name them all. Nations are gathered. All right, so it's a worldwide event. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now, there's some Bible preachers that say he's going to separate nations. Well, this nation all goes to hell. This nation goes to heaven. No, 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 no. The Lord doesn't deal that way. He deals with individuals. Amen? He's not going to take the whole nation of Russia and throw it all into hell. I met many, many good believers there that I know are Kingdom of God people. Same thing with every nation I've been in. They may be a wicked nation, they may have a wicked prince, a wicked dictator, but there are people of God in that nation. Let's go on. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand. Sheep are individuals. Sheep on his right hand, but goats on the left. So this is sheep and goats, all right? It isn't sheep and wolves, it is sheep and goats, okay? And the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. The word should be earth there. Foundation of the earth. So here's the reward for sheep. They're inheriting a kingdom, all right? That's a heritage. It's a reward. Amen? For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was stranger, and you took me in. Now, what he's saying here is that they were not only sheep, but their works, what they were doing, had something to do with their faithfulness here. In other words, you can see why the rich man with Lazarus at his door, you can see why the rich man didn't qualify here. There was a hungry man. There was a thirsty man. I mean, naturally hungry, naturally thirsty. But you know what? What about the people that are spiritually hungry and spiritually thirsty? And they're coming to you saying, you know, what am I going to do? All right? You gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. Amen? I was in prison, and you came unto me. What was I doing in prison? Well, that's where I happened to be. But you know what? You ministered to me even in prison. You know, brother sent me a name of somebody he met in prison. Well, it was Jeremy, I'll tell you. He sent me the name of somebody that he met in prison who was interested in the Word of God. You know, I had the privilege of packing up some books and sending him a little note and say, brother, here's some books. If you can get these in, I'll send you some more. I can't go there personally. His prison is way down in Florida somewhere. I'm not going to be able to go there. But I can pray for the man. And you know what? God will bring restoration to him. And maybe God put him in prison to save him. Maybe that's what he needed. Amen? And then shall the righteous, these are righteous, righteous ones were doing this. Then shall the righteous answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and we took you in? Amen? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and came to you? And the king will answer, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. The ones that society would consider the least. That Lazarus laying out there in the street by the gate. He's one of the least, isn't he? That man that found the Lord in prison. He's gathered there among what we would say the least criminals, evil men, bank robbers, what have you. You know? But you can minister to some of them. Amen. Well, let me just read a little of the next. Then shall he say to those on the left hand, Depart from me. So the penalty here is they will be absent from the presence of God for the rest of their life. For eternity, I should say. I hate to use the term life because there will be no life left. But there will be awareness. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What is that fire prepared for? Why did God make hell? To accommodate the devil. Because he will never be saved. And those who go to hell, now here's the word everlasting. You cannot tell me that there will be ultimate reconciliation for these who are sent to hell. The word is everlasting. It means without end. There's no way. Oh, you can play with that word. You can say it means this, it means that. No. Take it for, there's multiple witnesses that say forever and everlasting. Now, I'm not going to go through the rest, but basically it just says, I was hungry, I was in prison, I was naked, I was sick, you didn't do a thing for me. You were just taking care of yourself. And then they shall answer him saying, Inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away, here's the word again, unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. So everlasting and eternal, they basically mean the same thing. Reward and punishment. Now, let's talk about reward. Let's talk about the good side of this, what we call the positive side. In Matthew, there's so much in Matthew. Matthew 5. Go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, you know. And let's come down to verse 10. Lots of blesseds here. Blessed is the pure in heart, the peacemakers, hunger for righteousness. Verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now he's talking about that as a reward. Your reward is the kingdom. Amen. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Amen. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Oh, hallelujah. They're gossiping about me. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, they're saying terrible things. They're accusing me of things that I never did. Praise the name of the Lord. Do we often do that? Or do we murmur and complain? Oh God, I don't deserve this. Well, anyway, Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, not just normally glad, but very glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, when it says great is your reward in heaven, it implies there might be degrees of reward, some good, some greater, some exceedingly great. There's a difference, brethren. Come on, we need to know that we're not all going to be the same. Some semi-slothful servant might just barely get in by the skin of his teeth. Not much reward. I mean, everything he did was wood, hay, and stubble. It got burned. Well, he got in. All right, let's go on here. Chapter 6. A little bit more about rewards. Take heed that ye do not your alms, that's your what you give and what you do, amen, before men to be seen of them. All right? All right, you've got a lot of money. You're going to make a big contribution to the Salvation Army. And you get your picture taken, and you get your face in the newspaper, and it gets put out on all the whatever the social media. Hey, what a great guy! What a great guy! Look at there! Look what he's! Oh, look, he's given to the hospital now. What a great guy! Amen. All right. See that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. In other words, that isn't going to get you anywhere in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. This is figuratively speaking now. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, translation, and I think you'll read it this way in the Amplified Bible, if I remember right. What this says is they have their reward now in full. And that's all the reward they're going to have. They have a reward that'll last for a few days. They'll get all the attention that they want. It'll be focused on me, but that's it. That's all there's going to be. There will be no eternal reward. Now, they might make it into heaven, okay? But still, whatever they did for the purpose of self what's the word? Aggrandizement? Exaltation? Is not going to work. Temporal and spiritual. There's a couple more in chapter 6. Go down to verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that may appear unto men to fast. Oh, what a holy guy. Oh, look at how he's suffering. He must be fasting. He told me he was going to do a 40-day fast. Oh, he's so righteous. Yeah, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, comb your hair, do whatever you're supposed to do, amen, that thou may appear unto men, not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father. In other words, you're doing it before the Father, amen, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall, let me add the word eventually, reward thee openly. See, the rewards that come in the kingdom are open rewards, okay? Then you get the reward, and it's an eternal reward. Matthew 16. Let's go down to Matthew 16. We're getting there. Matthew 16. And, okay, Matthew 16, 27, I believe it is. Yeah. Let's just one verse here. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Right? In other words, the heavenly host is coming with him. Amen. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, the works aren't going to get you saved, but the works are going to get you according to your reward. What have you done? What did you do with those talents that were given to you? Did you hide them in the earth, in the carnality? Or did you use them for the kingdom? All right. Reward. This word works. It's clearly here. Reward according to works. Clearly, the works will not save you. All right. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We'll work our way through here. Colossians chapter 3. Good chapter. I like chapter 3 of Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 23. Well, let's start in 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Masters according to the flesh, that is. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. That's the attitude to have toward your boss, your employer. Okay? And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So again, you're not pleasing men, you're pleasing God. Knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Amen. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the other side of the reward, the other side of the coin, shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Let's move on to 2 Timothy. Now we're coming to the other side, if you can still call it reward, but it's not really a reward, it's a retribution. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now these are the last words, by the way, 2 Timothy, the very last words of Paul before his martyrdom. And he's talking about what happened at his trial. And some of them betrayed him at his trial. Let's read this about Alexander, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. He betrayed the servant of God and helped send him to his martyrdom. Alexander. The only thing we're going to remember about Alexander is what he did. Hebrews has got some good word in it. Hebrews 2, chapter 2. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Bible. It's an interesting verse. I think you get a good meaning here from the from Hebrews. Here we go, chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 2. Yeah. Well, let me read it from the King James first, Hebrews 2:2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. There's the word recompense, okay? However, let me read it here. For if the message given through angels, that is, the law spoken by them to Moses, was authentic and proved sure, and every violation and disobedience received an appropriate, just, and adequate penalty. A penalty, all right? Now, while we're still in Hebrews, let's go to chapter 10. Chapter 10, and we're coming down to verse 35. But let's start in verse 34, I guess. Yeah. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds. If this doesn't sound like Paul, I don't know what does. Amen. And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. In other words, the goods, the things that you own, you have a lot better waiting for you over beyond. Amen. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Recompense of reward. Recompense means the same thing almost as reward. Okay? For ye have need of patience. How many believe that might still be true? How many of you want to admit that you have need of patience yet? Amen? Yes. I'll go along with that. Ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. All right, there's the reward, the promise. Amen. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Well, it just seems like he's been tarrying away too long, but he will come. Amen. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, don't you draw back. It's possible to draw back. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You're going to lose it all. Amen. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. That perdition means on your way to hell. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And I might have read that verse a little while ago, the saving of the soul. Chapter 11. We can talk about Moses. Chapter 11, verse 24. Well, let's go to Moses, chapter 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, now as an adult, Moses, when he was come to years, how old was Moses when he came to years? Come on, guys, how old was he?
40,
40.
40.
Yes. You know what? If you're having trouble coming to years, don't worry. Moses didn't get there till he was 40. What that means is come to a maturity where he really knew, you know, he saw the options. He knew what the results were going to be for any decision now that he made. And he made a final decision at that age. Amen. Maybe I could ask you, what age were you when you came to years? You know what? I might have been a little over 30 when I came to years. Amen. Well, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Son of Pharaoh. Isn't that a strange way for that to be written? Because it has a meaning. He didn't say he refused to be called Pharaoh's son. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I'm going to just take the liberty of saying that a woman speaks of a church. So he refused to be called one of the sons of the Church of Egypt. No, I'm not going into that church. Maybe I was brought up there, but I'm leaving it. I'm out of here. Amen? Choosing rather. So he made a decision. He made a choice when he came to years. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. He knew what the price was. He knew he'd have to suffer affliction with the people of God, with the true church, then enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had the opportunity to enjoy any pleasure of sin that his heart could ever have wanted. He could have had it all. Everything that could possibly please the flesh, he could live high on it. But he made a decision. All right. Now let's go on here. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. See, he must have had a vision of Christ. Esteeming the reproach. Well, what is the reproach of Christ? What is that all about? Well, that's the whole business of the Gospels and how Christ, Jesus Christ, was brought to final reproach by being crucified with criminals. Amen? Publicly crucified with criminals. You know, I don't believe that was not a very pleasant scene. I believe they crucified them naked. Terrible, terrible embarrassment that they had to go through. The reproach of Christ, greater riches. For me to have the reproach of Christ is greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Egypt means the world. All the treasures that I could get of the world. For he had respect. There's that word recompense again. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew that there was something a lot better waiting for him in eternity. He made the decision when he was 40. He got called to begin to pay the price again when he was 80. And for another 40 years, he had to go through the desert with his people, rebelling, complaining. My God, he made a decision. All right, let's go to Revelation. We'll maybe finish up somewhat here in Revelation. Revelation chapter 11. You know, every time I read chapter 11, I find something different that I never noticed before. I find one word here that I kind of skipped over. Revelation chapter 11. Now, these are the two witnesses, okay? They've had their 3.5 years. They've laid their life down. They've been resurrected, called up to heaven. And now when we come to verse 18, okay, the blowing of the seventh trumpet now, it says, and the nations were angry. These are the nations, the participants of this are on the goat side, okay? The left side, they're going to be divided there. The nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. Amen. God is going to take care of whatever is destroying the earth. We don't all need to drive electric cars to cure it. God's going to take care of it. Nice verse, isn't it? Let's go over to Revelation chapter 18. And you know, don't complain too hard now, Brother Marv, because we're spending a lot of time in this latter part of Revelation. 11, 18, or wait a minute, no, we did that with 18, verse 6. Now, we've read these before. Now, in chapter 18, we're talking about Babylon. Let me go to verse 5. Oh, let me go back to verse 4. Amen. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. So the one follows the other. If you are a partaker of her sins, amen, you will be a partaker of her plagues. That's why you need to come out of Babylon, all right? For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now, here we go. Reward her. Here's the word of the Lord, giving the word to the Spirit. Reward her even as she rewarded you. And double unto her. So she's getting a double reward, although it's not a positive reward. This is a negative side of the reward. And double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled to her double. By the way, I don't know if any of you have been reading any of the summary of this pope that just died, of the things that he set in motion. He has set in motion, brethren, it's not widely publicized, but you can find it, just terrible things to bring this harlot system into a worldwide religion. He's visited Muslims, Hindus, all these false religions, and he believed that they were all to come under the umbrella of Rome. He set it up. Let's see what the next pope really does with it. We're talking about Babylon. Amen. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow. There's the reward. Torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord that judges her. Two more chapters, 22. One verse. verse 12. No, wait a minute. No, I wrote that down wrong. It's verse 20. Yes. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now, this is the judgment. This is the retribution. This is the punishment of the unsaved. So I'm of the conclusion that not only are there degrees of reward for those of the kingdom, but there are degrees of suffering and punishment. So if you're a good sinner, you might not get the lowest part of hell. It's still going to be hell. I still don't want to be there. All right. Well, one more. And this, I'm going to go back to Matthew. And you're going to say, well, Brother Mark, what about this particular parable in Matthew? Tell me what that means. And I must admit, I have been thinking and thinking and thinking of this for 2 weeks, this particular parable. But let me read it, and let us come to a conclusion as to what it means. There's 16 verses here. I hope you don't mind. We take a little time to read through them. Oh yeah, we got lots of time. Chapter 20, Matthew, chapter 20. And it's going to be the first 16 verses. Okay? For the kingdom of heaven. Now, first of all, we're talking about the kingdom. Let's put that right in context. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. In other words, he's a homeowner. He owns land. He owns a business. Which went out early in the morning to hire laborers unto his vineyard. In other words, he has a business. He has a farm. He grows a vineyard. Okay? Early in the morning. Okay? And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now, a penny a day doesn't mean very much to us. A penny, the probably a, not a very good translation. A penny is a denarius, doesn't mean a thing to us. A denarius was a day's wages, common day's wages for a working man. It would buy him enough food. It would keep him, you know, keep a man and his family going. He got a penny a day. He got one denarius every day. It would keep him going. All right, so then he went out about the third hour. All right, so the first hour is 6 o'clock in the morning. We'll put that in our understanding. 6 o'clock in the morning, he hired people to go in the vineyard and work. The third hour, this is 9 o'clock in the morning now, he went to the marketplace, and there were men standing there. By the way, you know there's still places in America where temporary laborers come, and they congregate, and they kind of wait for somebody to come on. Jeremy, did you find any of these places in Albany?
Just go to any Home Depot.
Yeah, yeah. They know where to go. Now, when I worked for that furniture guy, I don't know where it was, but we knew there was a certain place if we wanted some day laborers. We just go down there and say, hey, come on, we need a couple guys to put some of these workstations together. And we get two or three guys, and they'd work for a day, and they'd get paid. Maybe come a second day or something like that. Okay, so they still do this. We go into the marketplace. They called it back. Marketplace. Sixth hour. Amen? And he said, whatever is right, I'll give you. All right, I'll give you what the going rate is. And he went his way. He went out again about the sixth hour. Now this is noon. He went out about noon, found some more guys out there standing waiting for work. And he put them in his truck and took them off to the work site and said, come on, I'll pay you guys. You'll get a good wage. Well, he went out there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour. Man, day's almost over. And he sent them out and said, I'll pay you. You'll get a good wage today. And the 11th hour went out there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, almost quitting time. See, they're going to work a full day. They're going to work until six. So these guys, these last ones, went out and only worked for 1 hour. All right, let's see. Why stand ye here idle all day? And they said, because no man has hired us. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that shall ye receive. I'll give you whatever is right. So when evening was come, we'll call it 6 o'clock at night, the sun is starting to go down. Amen. The Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, his paymaster, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. So the 11th hour guys, pay them first, okay? And when they came that were hired at the 11th hour, they received every man a penny, a denarius. Full day's wage. They only worked 1 hour. Amen. And so on. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Well, that was our agreement. That was the contract. You agreed to work for a penny. Amen. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. Yeah, we're going to take this to the labor union. Well, they murmured, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. And he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that is that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto the last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will unto mine own? Is mine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many be called, but few chosen. All right, what's going on here? Everything else that I read here is rewarding according to your works. Okay, are we agreed on that? Degree of reward, degree of punishment. Now, here we come to a situation where every man gets the same thing. What are we talking about? What does every man get equal to every other man?
Salvation.
There you go. That's exactly what Rita just said. Eternal life. Eternal life. It doesn't matter. You got saved when you were 10 years old and you served the Lord for 80 years. Okay? You were out in the field, you got hot, you got tired. Another guy got saved when he was 79 and he died the next year. He still gets eternal life, doesn't he? That thief on the cross, I mean, he did, he not only, he came in on really the 11th hour, literally the 11th hour. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. So he got entrance into the kingdom. Now, the guys that came in on the 11th hour, they got in, but maybe they didn't get, you know, they got the reward, shall we say, the reward of eternal life, the reward of salvation. That's basically it. They should have come when they were 20. They were busy running around with the world. They're still going to get in. Help me out here. Am I right?
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
Yes, Mark, you're correct. Here, the parable what's being taught here is it's not merit, but rather faith. And this is where our salvation is. Later, in other words, it doesn't depend upon, it's not wages that the Lord is looking at here. He's looking at, it's based on his grace and faith in what we believe in him. Where previous to this, it was after we were servants. And then we're given gifts and expected to use those gifts to, in essence, like you talked about, fulfill the investment that the Lord had made in us. So you asked the question to begin with, is God hard? And, you know, I said, no, he's not hard, but he is just. And, you know, because of his justice, we are expected to give him a return on investment. We're expected to give back to him all a portion of what he gave to us. But in eternal life and salvation, it doesn't depend on our merit. It depends on, it's basically his grace.
All right, let me add one last verse. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wages and gift. Let me turn the recording off here. And I think we have a lot more that we can add to this.